This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our class of Ulum al-Quran. Today, inshallah, we will talk about essential information about the Quran. These basic information should be known by every Muslim, let alone the student of knowledge. So all of us have to know these information. We will start with the number of the surahs of the Qur'an. As we all know, the Qur'an has 114 surahs. But before that, what's the meaning of the surah? We say that the Qur'an has 114 surahs. But what's the meaning of the surah? What's the meaning of the surah? The surah has two meanings. The surah has two meanings. The first meaning, it's taken from the word sur. And sur in Arabic means wall. And why it's called wall? Because it has an area limited with it. It encompasses something. So that's the meaning of the surah. It's encompassing ayat inside it. That's why it's chapter. Another meaning of the surah, elevation. Because once you read a surah, you are elevating yourself. So basically we have two meanings for surah. Ayah, the meaning of the ayah is sign. Ayah means sign. And it's used in the Quran. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ. And their prophet told them the sign of his kingship. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. So ayah means sign. And every ayah, scholars say, every ayah in the Quran is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every ayah is a sign from Allah. That's why I like to call it ayah instead of verse. The same thing for surah. You better call it surah instead of chapter. So we have ayah and we have surah. We have 114 surah in the Quran. What's the first surah was revealed in the Quran? What's the first surah? Does anyone know? Iqra. Iqra is a surah or ayah? It's ayah. We are talking about surah. Alaq. Alhamdulillah. It's not al-alaq. Yahdikum as-salam. Al-Muddathir, exactly. We have few ayat revealed from surah al-alaq. That's true. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. But we have an entire surah was revealed at first, after these ayat from Surah Al-Araq, from Surah Al-Alaq. This surah is Surah Al-Muddathir. Surah Al-Muddathir was the first surah to reveal. What's the first ayah? We all know it is Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. This is the first ayah. What's the last surah revealed? The last entire surah. Surah Al-Fath. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. There is a famous story about this surah when it was revealed. The companions were happy, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anh cried because he knew that the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is approaching. Once something is perfect, then it will start declining. So the Prophet ﷺ delivered the message, so it's time for him to leave. So this was the last surah. What's the last ayah revealed from the Quran? What's the last ayah? Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. When this ayah was revealed? Today I completed your religion and perfected my favor upon you. When was this ayah revealed? And where? Do you know? You should all know. It was revealed in Mecca during the Hajj of the Messenger ﷺ. This was like 3 months before the death of the Messenger ﷺ. Don't you think that in these 3 months no single ayah was revealed afterwards? There is an opinion, of course, says this is the last ayah, but it's a weak opinion. The strong opinion says it is وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Ayah number 281 from Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Another opinion says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. The last two ayat of Surah At-Tawbah. So there are few opinions about what's the last ayah was revealed. By the way, all these information are mentioned in the introduction of the book, the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. You have the Tafsir, volume number 1. It's important to read the first 50 pages. This is mandatory. Now you don't have to turn in something for me. This is your homework. You have to read the first 50 pages of the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. No, the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, the first volume, the first 50 pages. You read the first 50 pages of this book. Yeah, next week, because we will start with the next next class, so we have other information. How many ayat in the Quran? Now we know we have 114 surahs, but how many ayat in the Quran? Have you ever read the Quran? You read the Quran. Didn't you read the comments on the back of the Quran? Mostly in Arabic. Yeah, that's true actually. But if you're able to read the Quran in Arabic, you should be able to read this. Here, at the end of the Quran, they wrote few comments, basic information. It's important to read it. They mentioned the number of the ayat. The number of the ayat is 6236. 6236 ayat. This is the number of the ayat. According to another narration, to the other qira'ah, it's 6216. So we have two ways, two methods of counting the ayat. Now some people would think that there is a problem. If you say 6236 and you say 6216, there is a difference of 16 ayah. Are these ayat from the Quran or not? So you say the Quran is preserved. Now we have 16 ayah. Where are they? Actually, the Quran itself is preserved. But the way you calculate the ayat, it's the same Quran. But where you stop, is this the end of the ayah or it's a continuation and the next ayah comes later? That's the difference. Basically, the people of Basra, they had their own method, and the people of Kufa. Now this Quran that we have, and inshallah we'll talk about it in details when we speak about the Qira'at. This Quran is according to Hafs an Asim. Asim is from Kufa, Asim ibn Abi Nujud al-Kufi. So this is the method of the people of Kufa. According to them, it's 6236. According to the people of Basra and the Medina, it's 6216. Again, do not think that there are some ayat missing. It is the same Quran. The only difference is the way they count the ayat. And according to the stoppings of the Messenger ﷺ, where did the Prophet ﷺ pause? Was it a stop? So was it the end of the ayah? Or it was only a pause and there is a continuation for this ayah? That's how they try to calculate and measure the ayat. And again, it's not a big deal. Why? Because we have the Quran. The only difference is whether this is the end of the ayah or not. And in the entire Quran, you have only 16 differences, which is very simple and trivial difference. In the entire Quran, out of 6,000, you have almost less than 1% difference. So it's almost the same. Another type, which is important to know, is the Makki and the Madani. The Makki and the Madani. We have surahs called Surah Makkiya and we have surahs called Surah Madaniya. This is by itself a separate type of sciences of the Quran. And we will study it inshallah. How many surahs? Now we said there are 114 surahs. How many of them are Makki surahs and how many of them are Madani surahs? And which is more, the Makki surahs or the Madani surahs? The Makki is more. Why?
Because
they are small. Well, if you say the Makki surahs, you have to mention the number. Because size-wise, the Madani surahs are more. But number-wise, yes, you are right. The Makki are much more. And this is the number. We have 82 Meccan surahs, and we have 20 Medinan surahs. Now, 82 plus 20, what's the total? 102. So what happened? We have 12 more surahs. Where did they go? There is a difference of opinions upon these 12 surahs, whether they are Makki and Madani. And again, it is not a big deal. Why? Because whether it's Makki or Madani, it's there. It's in the Quran. But whether you say it's Makki or Madani, there is only 12 surahs. Scholars differed about these 12 surahs, whether they are Makki or Madani. And again, all these information are in the introduction of the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in the first volume of the tafsir. So 82 scholars agreed, they revealed in Mecca. And 20 surahs, they revealed in Medina for sure. And there are 12 surahs, there is a difference of opinions whether they were revealed in Mecca or in Medina. How many words are there in the Quran? Now we said there is 6236 ayat. How many words? We have 77,439 words of the Quran. 77,439 words. Again, because even this number is disputable. Some people debate about this number and they say there are like 20 more words or less. So it's not a big deal. That's the approximate number for the words of the Quran. How many letters in the Quran? Now you wonder, why do we even read this or talk about it? Once you mention these small details, you know how scholars early, they cared about the Quran. They wanted to figure out everything in the Quran. So they calculated even the letters of the Quran. And nowadays, alhamdulillah, we have many different prints, fancy prints of the Quran in different editions, different languages, but people are reading less. While at their time, they used to read more and more. And that's why they cared more and they wanted to know everything about the Quran. So they calculated the letters and they came up with this number. 340,740 letters. Multiply this by 10, so you will get almost 3 million and a half hasana by reading the entire Quran. So again, if you want to be a millionaire, read the Quran. Read the Quran and you will become, inshallah, a millionaire. Multi-millionaire, actually. One time you read the Quran from cover to cover, that's the number of the hasanat you will get. So it is 340,740. That's the number of the letters. And again, it is approximate. There is some difference, like within 100 or 200. Now the Quran, we know that it is divided to 30 juz. Everybody knows that. It starts with the first juz and it ends with the 30th juz of the Quran. Each juz is divided to two ahzab. Hizb al-awwal and al-hizb al-thani. Two ahzab forms one juz. Two ahzab means one juz. Hizb al-awwal and al-hizb al-thani. Each juz has two hizb. Each hizb is divided to four divisions. So we have rubu' hizb, nisf hizb, thalathat arba' al-hizb, and the beginning of the second hizb. Now, the Quran, according to this copy, according to the copy of the complex of King Fahd, it has 604 pages. According to this division, and of course all the Qurans are divided to this division. All the Quran, they have 30 juz. There is no Quran with less or more. All the Qurans have two hizb. So according to this, every quarter hizb is approximately 2.5 pages. Multiply 2.5 by 4, then by 2, then by 30, you will come to the number 600. And why we have 600, not 604, as we have in this book? Because the first two pages is very small. And then at the end also, Juz'a Amma, there are lots of surahs in it, so the number of pages. Almost every 20 pages is one juz. Every 20 pages is one juz. Now, this information, again, is important for you. You need to know them as a Muslim. You need to know that after I read two and a half pages, you will find a beginning for a new rubu' hizb, quarter hizb. In some Qur'ans, now this Qur'an, we have 15 lines. In this Qur'an, we have 15 lines. Some Qur'an, you have almost 19 lines. So if it's 19 lines, then it's almost two pages, every rubu' hizb. And the juz is almost 15 pages instead of 20, or even less, 14 pages, approximately. It depends on the Qur'an you read. So these information are basic information you should know. How do you read the Qur'an? At the time of the companions, they did not have these divisions, 30 juz, 2 hizbs. This came later. But rather in the Qur'an, we have the way of the companions. At the time of the Messenger ﷺ, they had their own way. What was their own way? This is what's narrated by Aus ibn Hudhayfa, rahimahullah. He asked the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you divide the Qur'an? What's the method to divide the Qur'an? And that's the number they told him. 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. And then the rest. So how many divisions? 7 divisions. Most of the companions, they used to read the Qur'an and finish it in 1 week. Some of them used to finish the Qur'an in 3 days, because the Prophet ﷺ disliked reading the entire Qur'an in less than 3 days. And that's why I asked you at the first day, how many times you finished the Qur'an? You should at least finish it, if not every week, every 2 weeks, or every month. At least read one juz a day. 20 pages a day is not a big deal. At the beginning, maybe you will find it difficult, but later on it should be easy. If not, every 2 months. Don't read less than that. So that's the way, the method of the companions. And that's the breakdown of it. Look what they said. By the way, this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. Aws ibn Hudhayfa, when he asked the companions, that's the answer he got. And this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. That's the method they used. The first three surahs, of course, they did not mention Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha comes at the beginning. It is with Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and An-Nisa. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, and An-Nisa. This is the first day you read these three surahs, plus Surah Al-Fatiha. Then, the next day, you have five surahs. Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf, Al-Anfal, and At-Tawbah. You don't have to write every surah. If you have the number, you should be able to write it later on. 3, 5, 7, 11, 7, 9, 11, 13, and the rest. So you don't have to write all the surahs. Just get the number. I don't want you to write down everything, to copy everything. Just mention the headlines only, the major points, the key points. Then we have 7 surahs. It starts from Surah Yunus. After At-Tawbah, we have Surah Yunus, and it ends with Surah An-Nahl. Surah An-Nahl. If you notice, it's very, very close. It's almost similar. The amount of pages you read every day is almost the same. Then you have 9 surahs. It starts with Surah Al-Isra, and it ends with Surah Al-Furqan. Then we have 11 surahs, and it starts with Surah Ash-Shu'ara, and it ends with Surah Yasin. From Ash-Shu'ara to Yasin. Then we have from Surah As-Saffat until Surah Al-Hujurat. The last part, or the last division, is from Surah Qaf until the rest of the Quran. You notice from Surah Qaf, all the surahs becoming with small ayat, short ayat, from Surah Qaf until the end. The only exception in this division is the 28th juz. Juz qad sami'a, Surah Al-Mujadila. It's the only chapter where the ayat are relatively long. unlike the rest of the Quran or before that, the 27th juz. But after that, they are all the same. So that's the method of the companions. They divided the Quran to 7 divisions. And all of them are very, very almost close to each other. First, you start with 3 surahs, then 5, then 7, then 9, then 11, then 13, and on the last day, you finish with from Qaf until the end of the Quran. Now, this is the question. Who put Surah Al-Fatiha at the beginning? And next, Surah Al-Baqarah. And at the end, we have Surah Al-Nas. Why don't we have Surah Al-Baqarah at the end, or Surah Al-Fatiha? So who put the Quran in this order? Was it the scholars? Because remember, it's very important to know that at the time of the Messenger ﷺ, did we have the Quran compiled in one single book? No. Does that mean the Quran was not preserved? The Quran was preserved and it was written down. All the Quran was copied, but it was not copied in one single book. All the Quran was there. So when they gathered the Quran, it was at the first time in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, when they collected these papers, these leaves, these rocks that the Quran was written on. When they gathered the Quran at the time of Abu Bakr and then at the time of Uthman, did they choose that we will put this surah here, we will put this surah there, or it was already determined? Determined. What's the evidence? Because some scholars said that's the order of the companions. And based on that, they say you don't have to follow this order. You don't have to follow this order. Was it the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah, or the companions, or later on other scholars? What's the evidence?
Because he made them write it down.
He made them write it down, and I agree with you. Actually, all scholars agreed that the ayat themselves, the order of the ayat, by the Messenger ﷺ, which means you cannot start with the second ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, then you go to this first surah, the first ayah. The same thing with all the surahs. The ayat, the order of the ayat, it's consensus that it is from the Prophet ﷺ, from Allah. Because once the Prophet ﷺ calls on one companion to write down the ayah, he tells him and the others who listen, put it in that place. So he put the order of the ayat. There is no argument about this. What about the surahs? This is the question. Now you said the Prophet ﷺ told them to write it down. That's true, I agree with you. But he did not tell them that this surah, the place of this surah is here. Do you have any evidence? The way he recited them, very good. Actually, the way he recited them is against this opinion. Because once, and this is authentic, the Prophet ﷺ started in Qiyam al-Layl with Al-Baqarah, then An-Nisa. He did not start with Ali Imran. He went to An-Nisa directly. So what do you say? Any thought?
Because they came in different orders, but I believe Prophet did it before he,
well, you have, whenever you believe in something, you have to have the evidence. Yeah, it's true. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he's the one who had this order. And the companions, radiallahu anhum, they followed that order. What's the evidence? Every year, the Prophet ﷺ, in Ramadan, he used to have Jibreel alayhi salam coming down to review with him the Quran. Now, once he reviewed the Quran, he reviewed the Quran in order. There has to be an order. They cannot review the Quran haphazardly. They start from here and they jump there and they go back here. Especially the last time the Quran was reviewed by Jibreel alayhi salam with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was reviewed twice. Jibreel alayhi salam came in the last Ramadan when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive, and he reviewed it with him twice. Who was there as a witness? Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So Zayd ibn Thabit, he is the one who compiled the Quran. He took this mission upon himself, over his shoulders. So he witnessed the last revision of the Quran, and it was according to this order. So the correct opinion is that it was done by the Messenger ﷺ. Even the order of the surahs, it was done by the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, now here comes the question. So what do we do about that hadith when the Prophet ﷺ prayed and he started with Al-Baqarah and he went to An-Nisa. Now all scholars agreed that it is permissible. You don't have to start with one surah and to go to the next surah. You don't have to do that. You could go to the surah later on. But that's the order of the Messenger ﷺ. The order we have in the Quran, it is by the Messenger ﷺ. And when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Quran and He reserved the Quran from any changing, it implies that the order itself is from Allah as well. Not the ayat, but also the surahs. So it's more perfect for the preservation to have the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from human beings. So the order of the surahs, it is also from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we move to an important point. The revelation of the Quran. The revelation of the Quran. How long did it take to send down the Quran? Was it sent at once? Time by time. For how long? How long did it take to send down the Quran? 40? 23? 23 years, right? It was from the first year of the prophethood of Muhammad ﷺ until the last year. It is 23 years. Why? Wasn't it easier to send the Quran at once? Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala able to send it down at once? Even the Torah. How many days did it take to send down the Torah? 1 time in 1 hour?
40 nights.
40 nights. Why? Allah is able to do anything in a moment of a second, right? In a blink of an eye. Kun fayakun. Why? It's a reminder for us that this is the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take care of it. Respect it.
You remember better.
There are many reasons, but remember that it is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not an easy mission. Even the Prophet ﷺ, Musa alayhi salam, he went to Allah's appointment, so he was there for 40 nights. The Prophet ﷺ, it took him 23 years to receive the entire Quran. Here are the reasons behind sending the Quran down in different times. Assuring the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Giving the Prophet ﷺ the steadfastness on the religion. How? The Prophet ﷺ, during these 23 years, he went through lots of trials and difficulties. And he needed his heart to be assured. If the Quran was sent down at once, then that's it. If he faced one trial, he may be patient. But then the next trial, it will weaken him. And the third one, the fourth one, the Prophet ﷺ went through endless trials. So how his heart will be assured? By the revelation of the Quran. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَنْ يُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And in every story of the messengers that we relate to you, is a reason for you to have your heart assured or to steadfast you on the religion. So that's one of the reasons. One time the Prophet ﷺ is saddened by what people told him. So Allah sends down the revelation that even prophets before you, they were rejected. So the heart of the Messenger ﷺ is assured. The revelation is coming. Jibreel alayhi salam is coming with the wahi. So there is a great wisdom behind that. This is one of the reasons. The second reason, challenging. Challenging. What do we mean by that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down an ayah. And the kuffar dispute this ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them. Just like the challenge of bringing the like of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayah to bring the like of the Quran. And they were unable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, even if jinn and mankind gather together to produce the like of the Quran, they won't be able to do so. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another ayah. If you say it's not from Allah, bring the like or bring 10 surahs, and they were unable. Then this is better to let the people believe that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was sent down at once and they had new claims, then there is nothing to respond to them. But while it was sent down, the kuffar are arguing and the Quran comes with the challenging. And that was not only to the kuffar in Mecca, but even to the Jews in Medina. The Jews were disclosed, even the hypocrites. So there is a reason, there is a wisdom behind that. When they say something, so the Quran comes with the answer. They say something else, the Quran comes with the answer and silence them. So there is a great wisdom. If the Quran was sent down at once and then they had new claims, where's the answer for that? There's no more Quran. So this is a second reason. A third wisdom behind sending down the Quran in different times, to ease the memorization of the Quran. Now, if I give you one homework, it will be easier for you to do it. The next day, I will give you another homework, and you will do it the next day. But if I give you 10 homeworks at once, you will tell me I cannot do it. And that's why the companions, they were able to memorize the Quran better, because they used to have 10 ayat. Then another revelation comes. So it was easier for them to memorize the Quran and recite it and reflect on the meanings of the Quran. Also, it is easier to implement the Quran as well. Now, the same thing, if I give you 20 orders, you will say, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that, but then 20, impossible, I cannot do it. I'm a human being. While if I give you one order, you will be able to do it. Then the next day I give you a second order, you will be able to do it. And eventually it will be the same. But from the beginning, if I give you lots of things to do, you will not do anything. While if I give you one thing, you will do it. Then next day, the other thing, you will do it. So it's easier for the people to implement. This is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not ask them to do everything at once. Another reason, humoring the incidents and gradual legislation. It's very similar to the first one, but to the previous one. But we have a difference here. Like the story of forbidding alcohol. Now, the first command was to avoid drinking alcohol while praying. Then, reminder that alcohol is a bad thing. And then, avoid it totally. Aisha radiallahu anha said, if the first ayah was to avoid alcohol totally, people would not have responded to it. But there was gradual legislation, gradual forbiddance. Also, sometimes the companions had an incident where they needed the answer. So the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. But if the entire Quran was there and then they had new incidents, there will not be a revelation. Like the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, when some people accused her of adultery. The Quran came with the revelation to declare her innocence, radiallahu anha. So this is to humor the incidents and the things that are happening at the time of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of revelation. Now we have another topic, which is the Mekki and the Madani surahs, the Meccan and the Medinan surahs. What's the definition? Now, we already said that we have 82 Meccan surahs and 20 Medinan surahs. What's the difference? What constitutes Mekki surah and Madani surah? What's the difference? I need an answer.
Mekki are the ones before Hijrah and Madani are the ones after Hijrah.
Mekki are the ones before Hijrah and the Madani are after Hijrah. Is this correct? Do you agree?
Yes.
It's not the Mekki, the surahs that are revealed in Mecca, and the Madani, the surahs are revealed in Medina. No. So actually the definition is correct. That's the correct definition. Because we have some surahs were revealed in a Taif or in the way to Tabuk. It's not in Mecca or Medina. So what do you say? It's Mekki or Madani. The fine line is the Hijrah. Whatever revealed before the Hijrah is Mekki, whether it's in Mecca or outside Mecca. Whatever revealed after Hijrah, it's Madani, whether it was in Medina or outside Medina, even if it's in Mecca. Like the ayah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. This ayah was revealed in Arafah, in Hajj, Arafah in Mecca. It's on the borders of Mecca. Yet this ayah is Meccan or Medinan? Medinan, because it was after the Hijrah. So this is incorrect definition when we say Mecca is the Meccan surahs, the surahs that are revealed in Medina, Mecca and Medinan are the surahs that revealed in Medina. Now, since we knew the Meccan surahs, that the surahs were revealed before Hijrah, what are the characteristics? Which means, how can we know that this surah is Meccan? Or this ayah is Meccan? How do we know that? We have a question? Yes, what is it? No, of course, it is the Hijrah of the Messenger ﷺ. Because he is the one who received the Quran. It's not his companions, the Hijrah of the Messenger ﷺ. So what are the characteristics for the Meccan surahs? Any question after the... go ahead.
Legislation in
Medinan surahs, that's true. Mostly, the Medinan surahs are talking about the legislation. Now we're talking about... characteristics. This is one of them. Legislation. Another one is the jihad. Any ayah you have the jihad in it is Medinan ayah. Why? Because jihad was not legislated in Mecca. Muslims in Mecca were commanded to show patience. They are unallowed to, they are not allowed to fight back. You have to withhold your hand. So this is one sign. Whenever you have an ayah with the jihad, you know that it is Medinan ayah. Yes, what else? What? Tawheed. Mostly Tawheed, because in Mecca, the Quran was dealing with the pagans. So it was talking about Tawheed. Now let's focus on the Medinan surahs only. First thing we have the jihad, explaining the rulings of Islam. Again, as it was said, the legislation. Like, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ. All these details are Medinan ayat. Like the ayat about oath and vows. If you give an oath and how to fulfill it to the compensation if you did not fulfill this oath. The details about hunting if you are in Hajj, during Hajj, are you allowed? All these ayat are Medinan ayat. Exposure of the hypocrites. Again, this is in Medina, because in Mecca, we did not have hypocrites. We had hypocrites in Medina. So the exposure of the hypocrites. Any ayah with hypocrites in it, it's a Medinan ayah. And consequently, any surah with Medina with hypocrites, it's a Medinan surahs. Usually, the Medinan surahs are long surahs with long ayat. Like Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, Meccan or Medinan? Medinan. You have the longest ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. One page, a whole page. While the Meccan surahs, usually short surahs. Qaf, Al-Quran, Al-Majid, Bal-Ajibu. It's short ayat. So these are the characteristics of the Medinan surahs, usually. We say usually because sometimes you have some exceptions. Easy style with details. What do we mean by easy style? Now the Quran itself is eloquent. All the Quran, the entire Quran is eloquent. However, it's easier. It doesn't have very complicated words with lots of meanings. Because the purpose in Medina is to lay the foundation of the religion. It's not to challenge people. It's not to argue with the pagans. So the style is easier than the Meccan surahs. While in Mecca, we have more complicated ayat. Why? Because there is a reason. To argue with the kuffar, to prove to them that this is the Quran, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we start the tafsir from the beginning. Because some people requested to start from the end of the Quran, from Juz Amma. Juz Amma, all the surahs, most of the surahs are Meccan surahs. So they have very deep meanings. So actually it's better to start with the beginning. It's easier. Yes, I agree that the last surahs of the Quran, they are short. But they have very deep meanings. Some people, they don't know that. Once you know the principles of tafsir, once you go through the tafsir, then you are able to go there. But from the beginning, I don't recommend that. What's the benefit? Let's say you knew this is a Meccan surah, or you did not know. What you will get if you knew that this surah is Meccan surah, or it's Medinan surahs? First, it helps you to understand and interpret the Quran correctly. Because some ayat were revealed in Mecca. Like if somebody fought you, you show patience. While in Medina, they were commanded to fight back. So you know why this ayah is talking about the same thing with a different action. Because it was revealed in Mecca. It helps you to know the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see the sequence of the incidents. It helps you know the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This happened in Mecca because this is the ayah, it is Meccan ayah, so you know this happened in Mecca. This ayah is Medinan ayah, you know this happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. That's why one of the sources of the seerah is the Quran. The Quran is a source for the seerah. Also, you taste the different styles of the Quran. Once you know that this is a Medinan ayah or surah, you notice the style is easy. It's eloquent, but unlike the Meccan surahs, where it's more complicated, with the rhyme sometimes. So these are benefits for knowing the Meccan and Medinan surahs. This is what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah says. It's a very nice statement from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He said, whoever lived in a land, he's weak in it, or in time of weakness, then let him implement the ayat of patience and forgiveness. But the strong people should apply the ayat of fighting the disbelievers. So again, you could implement the ayat of the Meccan era if you are in a time of weakness. But if you are in a time of strength, then you have to apply the Medinan ayat. This is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in As-Sarim al-Maslul ala Shatim al-Rasul, volume 1, page 224. So again, it helps you implement the Quran correctly. Just an example here in America. We live in a Western society. It's not appropriate to come to the non-Muslims and you tell them you are the kuffar and we have to fight you and we have to kill you. I'm not saying these ayat are not from the religion, but you have to understand them correctly. What to implement? Be wise. Why Muslims in Mecca were commanded to show patience? Because they are weak. If you are weak and you want to fight back, you will be erased, you will be destroyed. So this is a great statement by Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah. And with this, we will conclude our session for today. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.